today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
When you're asked to take vows at your wedding or to make a commitment in some capacity and the Lord is leading you, then make that commitment. Keep that commitment. Don't think about other things. Followers of Jesus should be known as men and women of their word. If people find that they can take you at your word, there'll be no more need for them to say, promise. You promise? You can just say it. And they'll hold on to it as if it's true. Because it will be.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
Jesus is God. Jesus is the Word. The Word is truth. And as followers of Jesus, we're to represent truth. We're to live our lives in accordance to the truth of God's Word. But what happens when we don't? What happens when we continuously live in opposition to the truth? Well, that means that we're misrepresenting God. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now, open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 32. As we join Pastor Troy for the conclusion of our message entitled, Your Word Matters.
I have seen almost all sorts of people converted. Great blasphemers, pleasure seekers, thieves, drunkards, unchaste persons, hardened reprobates, and criminals. But rarely have I seen a man converted who has been a thorough-paced liar. The heart which is crammed with craft and treachery seems as if it had passed out of the reach of grace. That was Charles Spurgeon's observation of those who consistently lied. But Jesus said in John 8:31, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I knew a man who committed a crime. And finally, because he had gotten by with it, he had all this weight upon him. He wanted to get close to the Lord. He started going to church and got to the point where he couldn't overcome the sense of guilt that he had over a crime that he'd committed. And the counsel given to him was, you may need, in this case — this wasn't like you stole a pack of gum at Sears 20 years ago from, you know, the mall in Iowa. This was a significant crime. He said, you may need to report yourself and let them know you've done this. And sure enough, he did. He ended up having to spend maybe 7 to 10 years in prison for his crime. Probably got a lighter sentence maybe because of his coming forward. But even though he was going to prison, he said, I have never felt more free. I don't have to hide anything. I can be me, and I can move forward. Lying is a weight we were never intended to bear or carry. It's a burden on a soul. Jesus wants us to be able to be who we are, even with our past, and to come to Him and receive forgiveness and restoration completely with God. Now, with society, sometimes that restoration comes at a cost. In his case, it was prison time. But if we're willing to walk through the cost, we can walk free. And if we're not really willing to walk through the cost of coming clean, you're always going to have that burden over your head. If you're one of those and you have built up a lot of lies, it's time to begin to come clean. Now, you don't go to a session with a person and sit them down and go, okay, I lied about this, I lied about that, I lied about this, I lied about that. That's too much. But you want to find out ways that you can start sitting some people down and saying, look, I never did this stuff. I never worked in this department. Whatever it may be, you need to be honest. No one is as close to the gates of hell as a liar, because they don't live in truth. Jesus' intention was that we live simple lives. Lives that you could be honest about. Now, here's the kicker. If you don't do things that you have to lie about, then you won't have to lie. So it may not all be in the lying part. It may be in the doing part. Some of the stuff that you're doing causes you to have to lie. So stop doing that stuff or be honest about it. So if you can't, say, you know, yes, I was on the internet last night up until midnight looking at things I shouldn't do. That's just the truth. Okay, well, that's fine. Now that reveals that there's a problem. We shouldn't be doing that. You see what lying does? It hides many things that we shouldn't be doing. When this man who had lied about his past career just to try to attract women or seem more important to them, you know what he was lying about? You know what the problem was? He wasn't content with who he was. He wanted to be more. He was who he is. If you want to be more, here's the solution. Don't lie about it. Do more. You want to be like that guy who's sold out, gave up his practice and went to Africa and served and paved a trail ministry? Then don't talk about the fact that you've done a bunch of godly things that maybe you didn't even do. Do it. Be an honest, genuine Christian person. And if you're not going to do those things, don't say you have. Be honest. Our word should be our word. There was a woman named Isabel Kuhn. She felt called to be a missionary. And she wanted to go away to Bible college. She had a dilemma. Her parents didn't want her to be a missionary. This confused her because she didn't want to be a missionary until God started working on her heart and then called her into the mission field. She was excited. Her parents used to pray for her and they would be excited that she might be a missionary. And so she was thrilled. Oh, man, God has so changed my heart. I want to do this now. And so she went to talk to them and she let the news out over a meal, over dinner. And her mom said, over my dead body, you will not be a missionary. And she was taken back like, is this the same woman who wanted me to grow and to be everything God wanted me to be? I don't understand this. So she sought the Lord and realized God was starting to burden her heart with the desire to go to the Bible college to be prepared as a missionary. So she wanted to do that, but then there was the dilemma of her mom and dad not wanting her to go, honoring mom and dad. So she thought about lying. Not lying, but just saying, hey, I just want to go to Bible college and learn more about the scriptures, with the intention of becoming a missionary. But she didn't feel any peace about that. And finally, God just put it on her heart to share, hey, this one guy is going to Bible college that you guys know and admire, because he was. He happened to be going at the same time she was. And I'd like to go to Bible college too and do what God wants me to do, whether it's a missionary or whatever, but I wanted to go to Bible college and at least be prepared. And the mom said, you know what? I think that would be a great idea. She couldn't believe it was that easy to get her mom to okay her going to Bible college. But she was honest. She didn't hide anything or manipulate anything. And then God actually, ultimately, her mom, while she was in Bible college, ended up passing away. So she had thought back to her mom saying, over my dead body, you'll be a missionary. She goes, maybe. So the lesson in that is, don't make that kind of threat. Let God do with people what he wants them to do. Don't be in the way of God's will. But be honest. Be honest. You know, people are in your life. If you're married, your spouse is in your life. Children are your commitment. They're in your life. There are things that are going on in their lives that you're responsible for, and that is there for a purpose. if you're under your parents, if you have a job that doesn't let you take off for so long, these are things that if you are in God's will, they govern you. They're God's hands and resources to help govern you and keep you on track, or we would be all over the place. So don't see everyone as an enemy. Sometimes look at God's hand as being sovereign and in control, and focus your life on Him, and everything He wants you to do will come to pass. I've always found that to be true. I've never had to really try to hard, fast pursue what God wanted for me. Now, I had to commit myself to it, but I never had to make it happen. So don't resort to trying to make things happen. Just follow the Lord. Trust Him. And the difficulties, the trials, those who resist you, thank God for them. They might be keeping you on course and on pace, slowing you down or speeding you up sometimes. So, we need to keep our word. Verse 34, Jesus says, "But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King, nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black." So, here's what was going on. If they didn't feel they could really keep their word, they wouldn't swear on the name of the Most High God. They would swear on something lesser. Jesus is actually making some cultural statements here. He's saying, hey, stop doing these things that you guys are doing. So instead of swearing on the name of God, they would say, I swear on heaven. He said, don't do that. Or I swear on the great city of Jerusalem. Ooh, that was very important. He means it. But it's still lesser than God and God's name, or even their own name. So Jesus says, stop swearing by these things. Now, before we continue to move on with this idea of no swearing at all, I want to make very clear that God is not saying, or Jesus is not saying, that the Bible condemns making promises, entering contracts, or taking courtroom oaths. Jesus is not talking about that at all. He's talking about your word being your word. I mean, if he said, don't make any promises, he broke that. Our faith is in his promises. He's made lots of promises. And then entering contracts, well, God did that too. Did it with Abraham. They went through a ritual and everything to make a covenant. It was God who established the old covenant with Israel and then the new covenant by his grace. He's not opposed to contracts. We need those things because it helps us iron out the details, and it does help us to commit to our word, to hold each other accountable. And then being put under oath in a courtroom scene, even Jesus submitted himself to being put under oath when he was tried by the high priest at his court, Matthew 26:63. So he's not opposed to those things. That's not what this is about. And yet there are groups, some Anabaptists, Jehovah's Witnesses, who will take verses out of context and to their most literal interpretation without further context, and they will misuse them or misinterpret them. And they will take a word like this and say, we are not allowed to swear at all. I cannot go and participate in court because I can't swear an oath. And if I do go to court, I'm not swearing an oath. God said not to swear at all. Don't swear by anything. That's not what he's saying. When we come together and we get married, there's a promise. There are vows that are made. It's a commitment. And God intends to hold us to that commitment. We can't get married and go, well, let's do this. All right. We're going to keep our word. Hey, we don't make any promises. We do commit. We do make promises. We do sign, and witnesses sign as well. God is not opposed to that. Even Paul, the apostle, so that he could reassure people that he was really, really speaking genuinely, would even bring God's name into it, saying, look, God is my witness. There are several instances where he did this, but I'll just read one. 2 Corinthians 1:23. Paul said, moreover, I call God as my witness against my soul that to spare you, I came no more to Corinth. In other words, he hadn't come. They were wondering why he hadn't come. Hey, what's going on with Paul? He said, look, I was very frustrated. You guys had all this bickering going on. And I, as God is my witness, I did not go on purpose to spare you, to spare me. And so there is nothing wrong with reassuring people by letting them know, you know, God is watching. Jesus isn't condemning giving your word. He's saying, don't manipulate or use your words to deceive. I thank God that the Bible doesn't do that. Don't you? That you don't read it and you read, it's by faith, by grace, through faith, you're saved. Hey, believe on the name and you'll be saved. So you do that. You're not perfect. You get to heaven. You get up there and you know you weren't perfect, but you believed with all your heart and you stumbled, you get up, you stumble, you get up. But you get there and God says, well, you weren't really all that good. Well, I know, but you know, I had faith. I believed in your word. And God says, yeah. And you say to God, you know, but your word says, I have eternal life. Believe in you, I will have eternal life. And I believed in you. You know that. God says, yeah, I know that. And you're going to have eternal life. Because I'm God, I keep my word. However, let me give you the loophole. No one dies. Everyone has eternal life. Even those who are going to hell, which is where you're going, buddy. Get in there. And you go, wow, what a bummer. God doesn't play those games. Because, you know, we're all going to live eternally, right? He could just easily do that. Yeah, I did say eternal life, but those who go to heaven have eternal life. Those who go to hell have eternal life. It's just different quality. I never said which one you'd get. Just eternal life. He doesn't play those games. Proverbs 18:4 says, the words of a man's mouth are deep waters. You know what deep waters means? If you look in deep waters, and they're often murky, you can't see the bottom. You don't really know what's in there. Those are the words of a man. But he said the wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. You see the bottom. You see it's clear. You know it's good. It's pure. The difference in God's word and very often man's word. Me and my sister were a good example of the way man uses his words to manipulate. When we were kids, I would say, go to the refrigerator, look in there, and the milk is either gone or almost gone. I say, hey, who drank all the milk? You know, I need cereal. Somebody drank all the milk. And then my sister would say, not me, my mom. Hey, I didn't drink it all. So the truth is, everybody said, no, I didn't. I know I didn't. Somebody did. There's a lie somewhere in the house. Well, what I would find out very quickly as I would go back to my sister, who had always figured mom and dad were going to be okay, but my sister, you know that sister and brother rivalry, said, hey, you must have drank all the milk. She goes, well, I finished it. I said, well, then you drank it all. I said, no, I didn't drink all the milk. Everyone drank the milk. I just drank the last of it. Mm-hmm. So when you argued, you had to be very precise with your words. Some people are like that. I don't like talking to them. Did you get the point, though? You know, you harped on an adjective. One word, got that word. Sometimes we're not the most eloquent. Sometimes we do say things wrong. Sometimes we do put it the wrong way. And we need to be very careful. We need to get the point of what someone is saying before we, you know, beat somebody up for saying they're a liar. At the same time, we need to be careful with our words. Be a little more careful how we say them, not so that we can manipulate or craft lies or craft easy exits, but so that we can say what we mean and mean what we say. Jesus' point is there should be no deception in what you say or even how you say it, and that's why he says in verse 37, but let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. In other words, if you can't give a straight answer, maybe there's something wrong. Maybe you need to seek the Lord first. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe you do need to seek the Lord. Maybe you're afraid to commit. And you need to learn to commit. You know, some are so worried they're going to miss out on something, they don't want to commit to anything now. So they never commit to anything because they're afraid they're going to miss out on something. You can't trust those guys. So our job is, God, since He's a God of order, can bring anything to our attention in whatever order He wants to. So if He brings something to your attention and you commit to that first, something else comes along. Oh, that's better. Oh man, I already committed to this and it's at the same time. What if it's actually the Lord testing your commitment? See, we should be willing to commit, but the idea is we should seek the Lord before we commit. Seek the Lord, commit, and then remain committed. Maybe you can't keep commitments because your life is out of order. You'd love to keep a commitment, you just can't. You forget about everything. Then we need order, we need that simple life to simplify things. Any way you slice it, when you can't say what you mean and mean what you say, it's a sign that something's wrong. It really is simple. Say what you mean and mean what you say. One thing we need to consider in that is that we are not all knowing. So things can happen. Things can come up. You can say, hey, I'll be here at this time, and then you're in traffic. Now, if it's 5 o'clock, don't blame traffic every single week. That's normal. That traffic's going to be there. You need to plan for that. But if there is that accident on the road, something happens. Sometimes you're cutting it short and you didn't realize, hey, we don't have fuel. I got to stop and get fuel and that's going to put me more behind. Then things happen. But it should not be the norm. If having to cover up and make excuses and even lie is the norm, something is very, very wrong. Because it should not be that way. It's okay to make commitments, but we do need to understand that God may intervene. That's why some Christians qualify their promises or commitments with Lord willing. And that's a good thing. It's an acknowledgement that He is Lord and that we're subject to whatever He brings. Of course, don't use that as an excuse either. Because when some tag on Lord willing, they often mean not Lord willing, because the Lord is willing in most cases. God, I promised, and I feel like I followed the Lord, so the Lord is willing. But what they mean when they add Lord willing is, unless something else comes up. Lord willing. This is exactly what He's saying. When God said, don't take my name lightly, don't say Lord willing lightly, as if it's an excuse to do something else or let go of some commitment, even if it's smaller. Trust the Lord, commit yourself to the Lord, and He will make sure your ways prosper. But if you don't, you're taking care of yourself and He'll let you. Remember, the purpose of believers and their life is to be a witness to the world, to the gospel. So if testifying in court will bring out the truth, then let your light shine. When you're asked to take vows at your wedding or to make a commitment in some capacity and the Lord is leading you, then make that commitment. Keep that commitment. Don't think about other things. Followers of Jesus should be known as men and women of their word. If people find that they can take you at your word, there'll be no more need for them to say, promise. You promise? You can just say it. And they'll hold on to it as if it's true. Because it will be. The idea that a person can only be trusted when they have taken an oath or sworn is a statement in your trustworthiness. No one demands an oath from people that they know will be men or women of their word. And that's what we should be as Christians.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know You more.
Well, that's all the time we have for today here on Building on the Solid Rock, with Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock. Don't forget to join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. You can listen to or download any of our messages in their entirety by visiting our website at www.buildingonthesolidrock.com. At our website, we also provide information about our beliefs, service times, as well as directions to our church. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can simply email your questions or comments to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We'd love to hear from you. Again, that email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're in the San Antonio, Texas area and would like to visit us, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock is located at 17018 Silverwood Drive in North Central San Antonio. Thank you for being with us today. Please join us next time as we continue our study through the Gospel of Matthew.
And I wonder why. I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.